Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Financial pressures wreak havoc with many marriages. Having a game plan for money management is critical if we as couples are to avert the damage done by squabbling over our funds. Today, more on the deceitfulness of riches. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues the series on The Marriage Puzzle, Why Commitment Can Do What Love Can't. As we try to solve the puzzle of your finances, we'll hear a word of warning.
Let those who are rich in this present age charge them not to be haughty. Why would a rich man be haughty? Because a rich man says, I don't need you. I don't need to go to church. I don't need your fellowship because, after all, I'm totally independent. I'm a self-made man, right? So teach them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Boy, didn't God ever show us the uncertainty of riches during the stock market crash. And God loves to do that because there are always those who say, well, you know, it'll always be there. No, maybe it won't be there, the uncertainty of riches. But on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy, you hope in God. Now, this is huge. You know the name George Mueller? He lived in the 1800s. He was a contemporary of D.L. Moody. Mueller had about 8 or 9 orphanages in Bristol, England. You can read about this even on the internet if you don't want to read his biography, even though the biography is great. And what he did is he supplied all this money without mentioning money to anybody. All that he did is pray. Now, some people think that that's what we should do, but actually I need to tell you that there's nothing wrong with outlining needs, as we shall do, not today, but we will do that to this congregation to inform you as to where we are and why we need your help. But Mueller did that, and he said he did it, and he fed them. I mean, there are so many stories of where the kids sit down at the table and there's nothing to eat and there's a knock on the door and somebody is bringing a cart of groceries. It is one miracle after another after another. But he said he did it to prove that God can be trusted to 3 different groups. First of all, there were young people who didn't know that they could trust God. Secondly, he said there were business people, and those business people thought that they had to cheat in order to live. And what he needed to do is to try to show them, no, you don't, because God's able. And then he says there were old people who feared that in their old age, and in those days, there was no Social Security, there were no old folks' homes or retirement centers as there are today, that they feared that somehow their needs would not be met. And Mueller said he wanted to demonstrate that God can be trusted. What does this principle mean to you? If I were to take a poll for those of you who are going through times of financial hardship, you'd probably tell me, Pastor, I pray about it all the time, and I believe you. I'm going to ask you to take a step beyond that. Instead of praying about it, just simply give it to God. Transfer the burden from your heart. Give it to God. And just say, God, I can't handle this. It's not a matter of prayer anymore, because prayer is sometimes so easy to give in unbelief. And you're just praying because you're not believing anything. When it comes to transferring it and committing it, that becomes a different story. And why is it that God gives us the uncertainty of riches? So that we might stop trusting riches and hope in God. I must hurry. Next principle is generosity. Generosity. Verse 18, they are to do good, to be rich in good works. Now there's a way that all of us can be rich. To be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. You know, I hope you never get over the Bible. It is an unbelievable book. I just read this and I say, my, what a book. A couple of reasons. First of all, notice this, that when it comes to giving, the first reason to give is not so that Moody Church can keep its lights on, so that we can pay salaries, so that we can fund missionaries. That's not the first reason to give. The Bible nowhere is critical of investments. It is very critical of bad investments. But whether you're talking about Jesus or Paul, they're repeatedly talking about money and good investments. A good investment is one that, number one, has security. It is absolutely secure. It is not subject to the stock market. And number two, it is a high rate of return. Those are the only investments that the Bible approves. And Paul is approving it here. He says, what you must do is to be rich in good works and then to give, to share, so that you might store up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they would take hold of that which is life indeed. And the future has to do with heaven. And that's what Jesus said, that if you give, he says, put your money in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal, and you've made a very wise investment. Why? It is totally secure. It has a high rate of interest. And you know what? You are doing this for yourself. Self-interest should be definitely the reason why we give. I can imagine that when we take an offering or we explain the needs of Moody Church, there are some people who say, oh, there they go again. That's all the church wants is money. Money, 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 money. Listen, if you have that attitude, I have a couple of things to say to you, just between you and me. Nobody else needs to listen to this. Number one, keep your money. That's number one. We don't want it, and God doesn't need it. Number two, why don't you repent of the fact that you do not understand that you are not giving it to us. You are storing up for yourself a treasure and a foundation. Notice this is what the text says. This is what amazes me about the Bible. Look at here. That they might store up treasure for themselves. We are giving you the opportunity of making a wise investment for yourself so that you might meet your money again in eternity. And then again, I marvel at the Bible. Look at this. You know, what does money promise? Oh, if you've got lots of money, boy, then for sure you're going to have life. You can have homes all over the world. That's what money promises. Notice Paul says that if you give, you'll lay up for yourself a treasure of that which is truly life. You'll lay up a treasure of godliness and an investment in heaven that is truly life. Well, there's another principle, but I'm going to have to give that to you some other time, because I want to get to this business of marriages, and time goes by so rapidly, so quickly. Let me move to the end. You remember that passage of scripture that was read to us today? And it says, what more shall I say? You remember Eric read that from Hebrews 11? There was a young preacher who began with that and said, what more shall I say? And someone in the back row said, try amen. So I'm always a little concerned when that scripture is read. Oh, marriages. Number one, and these are all L's. They're all L's so that you can remember them. Let's go over them quickly. Number one, listen to each other. Listen to each other. What happens in arguments is nobody listens. Immediately the other spouse is there to correct, to judge, to improve on what is being said. And that's a disaster. You listen to each other. There's nothing that you can do for your spouse to give her or him more respect than to simply hear him out totally without even thinking of how you're going to respond or how quickly you're going to respond, to just let them speak, 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 and listen not only to the words but also to their hearts. Gentlemen, listen to your wives. You may not agree with them, but you have to hear them. Wives, listen to your husband. Totally. And when one is finished, you don't answer right away. You go for a cup of tea, and then you come back, and you discuss it rationally. You remember the verse of scripture that you should have on your refrigerator? from the book of Proverbs 26, verse 10, that says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Another story. Listen. Now, a marriage counselor who knows a lot more about this than I do, and I don't know, I'm just quoting, when somebody has counseled couples for years, I always listen to what they have to say. He says that he has observed that, in conflict, women are generally critical and men are lazy. I don't know. I'm just quoting somebody else here. Nothing to do with it. I'm just reporting. Listen to each other. Number two, we must hurry. In the process of listening, learn. That's number two. Learn. There are so many good books out there about spending plans. Get with a couple that has wisdom. Talk to our pastor of families who's got books on budgets and learn from the past. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from where you are going and learn and learn and learn. How important that is. And if you don't have employment, I have a full-time job for you right now. And the full-time job is to full-time look for employment. And I know that this is easy for me to say, but don't look only in your field. Be willing to do something else. I admire a man whom I know who is very, very highly qualified, and he is working at jewel stacking groceries. I admire that, and so does God. You know, I can't help but think of Moses, who was in the desert for 40 years, overqualified for sure, trained in hieroglyphics, trained in Egyptian history, philosophy, and all those ways. And here he is, 40 years, on a sand desert, day after day, monotony, no intelligent conversations with those sheep. And yet, you know what happened? Of course you know what happened. One day, the bush burned. And I hope for those of you who are going through times of financial stress that you might remember that there are times when God takes us through those experiences, but then there are also times when the bush burns, when suddenly God shows up and an opportunity opens for you. And our hearts and minds are indeed praying that God will enable you to find what you need so that you can live and look after your children. And then there are many of you whom God has blessed financially, and we want to thank you so much for the fact that you support various ministries, and for many of you, Running to Win is on your list. We could not do what we do were it not for you. I want to say that very clearly. But also, I want to simply thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Because together we are making a difference, and as our byline says, we are helping people make it across the finish line.
Erwin Lutzer with more on The Puzzle of Your Finances, another in a series on the marriage puzzle. There's no quick fix to deep disagreements on finances. Talking things out requires both parties to be rational. Next time, some thoughts on dealing with money without loving it. The Marriage Puzzle Series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.